Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Nobody brags about their car's resale value at a dinner party. Nobody posts about it on social media. It's not the reason you fall in love with a vehicle. But 5 years in, it's one of the clearest signs that you made the right decision. And Toyota makes that choice easy. For 6 consecutive years, Toyota has been named the best resale value brand by Kelley Blue Book. And many Toyota models, like the Camry, Tacoma, and 4Runner, are best in their class according to KBB. Because Toyota doesn't just build vehicles for the moment, they build for the miles ahead, which is something every Toyota owner can appreciate. So stop by your local Toyota dealer and enjoy the affordability of a great deal today, plus the value that lasts long after your purchase. Shop Toyota.com to find out more. Vehicles projected resale value and best resale value awards are specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Good morning, and thanks so much for joining me on The Garden Show. We'll be talking gardening for the next couple of hours. Hopefully you'll get some great information about what's going on in your gardens and landscape and issues that we're facing right now and problems that we may have cropping up. You know, when one person has a problem, usually many people have that same problem. But if you've got some particular issues or questions or problems that you're dealing with right now, trying to figure out how to take better care of a plant or plant selection, you got weeds or diseases or insect problems, you're looking at the issues with your lawn, your trees, your shrubs, or your vegetable garden, your flower beds, I'm always here to take your gardening questions and see what I can do to get you some great information to help you out with what you got going on. That phone number to call is 504-260-1870 if you've got a gardening question this morning. I'd love to chat with you about it. You know, we got lots of stuff going on this time of the year. The heat is building. We're certainly into summer at this point. Haven't started hitting the days in the 90s day after day after day yet. But, you know, any time now we're going to be hitting the 90s, relentless day after relentless day. Despite that, we still have a lot of things that we're taking care of and keeping up with in our gardens. Lawn care is certainly something we focus on through the summer season. We've got to keep our lawns mowed, edged, looking attractive. We want our lawns to have a nice presentation. Sometimes we have weed issues that we may need to deal with. Of course, there are insect and disease problems that can attack our lawns and cause damage to them. And a lot of lawn activities besides mowing are best carried out during the summer. Now, when it comes to mowing, y'all, don't forget, it's so tempting to let the grass get as high as possible until you just can't stand it anymore and then get out and finally mow. But that's really hard on the grass. Allowing the grass to get high and then mowing it back shorter and letting it get high again weakens the grass, and that can cause the grass to be less vigorous and allow weeds to invade and encroach in your lawn. So make sure that you mow your lawn as frequently as you can. You never want to remove more than about 1/3 of the grass blades at any one time when you're cutting. And ideally, when you mow your lawn, you see very little of the cut grass. Most of the cut grass should sift down on into the lawn. If you find when you cut your lawn, you have a lot of cut grass sitting on top of the lawn, if you don't use a bag on your lawnmower, that means you're not mowing often enough. You're letting the grass get too high before you mow. So do keep an eye on, and also make sure you're mowing your lawn at the right height. Mowing a lawn too short or too high can lead to issues or problems. So make sure that you look at the kind of lawn grass you got. St. Augustine, we usually mow it about 2 to 3 inches, and centipede grass, which is also commonly planted, usually about 1.5 to 2 inches. Zoysia Bermuda are oftentimes mowed at about 1 inch. And the shorter you keep the grass, the more often you have to mow it to keep it looking its best. So because Bermuda and Zoysia are mowed at a lower height, we mow them more frequently than we mow centipede and St. Augustine. And centipede is a bit slower growing than the other three lawn grasses, which means that you oftentimes don't have to mow it quite as often. And that's led to some of its popularity. It's a little bit lower in maintenance than some of the grasses. But do remember to mow at the right height and mow frequently and regularly to keep your lawn healthy. A lot of times I get a ton of calls on lawn weed issues in late July, August, and into September, because the weeds that have been growing in people's lawns all summer long have really gotten prevalent at that time and are really noticeable at that time. But the weeds that you worry about in August are already there growing in your lawn now. They're just not as noticeable at this point. And these weeds are a lot easier to control if you spray them earlier rather than later. They have less opportunity to damage the lawn. Some types of weeds will actually grow so thickly in an area that they can crowd out the grass. And when you finally might apply a weed killer at some point, you have areas of your lawn where there's no grass there anymore. So you've had actual damage occur to the lawn. So think about last year, the year before. If you've typically seen real problems with the Virginia buttonweed, Lespediza is already growing in lawns. I had some questions on that last week. If you've had problems with these weeds in late summer in the past, you can be pretty sure that you're going to have problems with those weeds in late summer this year. Go out and walk your lawn and check it. Look for Virginia buttonweed, in particular, one of our worst of our lawn weeds. Little white flowers with 4 petals and pointed leaves and a mat-like growth I have it are all characteristic of Virginia buttonweed. If you do see some weeds getting started, monitor them and watch them carefully. Don't let them get way out of hand before you step in and do something. And remember that a lot of the lawn weed killers that we use in the spring of the year when the weather is cooler are more likely to damage our lawn if we use them once the temperatures start hitting the upper 80s, and particularly once the temperatures start getting into the 90s. But a couple of weed killers are not temperature limited, and you hear me mention them on the show fairly frequently when it comes to lawn weed control, and that's one called MSM Turf and another one called Celsius. So MSM Turf and Celsius can both be used here through the summer on all of the 4 different lawn grasses that we commonly use to control weeds. And again, it's not that you have to get out and treat if you don't really see a major weed problem at this time. You don't have to be overly paranoid. But again, think about the past. And if you had a lot of Virginia buttonweed last year in the late summer, you may see it again this year. So keep a sharp eye out on that and be sure to treat before the weeds get a real upper hand in areas of your yard. There also are some lawn activities like dethatching. Thatch is a layer of dead material that forms between the surface of the soil and the green leaf blades. And you'll see a layer of dead brown material. And it's natural. All lawns have thatch and should have some thatch in. And that's just the old dead grass blades and rhizomes and things that naturally die over time. They eventually decay and break down. But if you get a lot of thatch, if the thatch layer gets to be rather thick, then you've got some issues with the grass. It weakens the grass. It causes the grass to be less vigorous. And so dethatching can be done. You can hire a lawn care company to come in and dethatch your lawn. Zoysia probably develops thatch more than most of the other lawn grasses. So if you have a Zoysia lawn, do be aware that thatch can build up, particularly if you don't mow often enough. if you mow too high, if you fertilize a lot, those can all encourage thatch to occur. So you can determine how much thatch your lawn has by getting down on your hands and knees and looking at the grass closely and part the grass and look at that layer of dead material between the surface of the soil and where you see the runners in the green foliage, and make sure that doesn't get excessive. Most of us don't have to worry too much about dethatching, especially if we're taking care of our lawns properly. If you have a lawn where there's a lot of traffic, the kids all come over and play on your lawn, you've got family activities and badminton and croquet and, you know, all kinds of football and soccer that you're playing on your lawn, you may end up with some compaction over time. And lawns can be aerified. Again, you can have a lawn care company come in and use an aerifier to punch holes down into the ground to allow air and water to more freely flow into the grass. And so where compaction is an issue, where the soil has gotten fairly hard and compacted, aerification can sometimes help to rejuvenate a lawn that may be having an issue as a result of that. And these are all best done during the summertime when the grass is in active growth and has time to recover from the work. Also a great time of the year to fill if you need to fill in some lower areas or even out your lawn. We want to put that fill out when the grass is vigorously growing and in active growth. So think about doing any filling that you might want to need to get done this summer. Use a sandy material. You can use builder sand or play sand, or you can use pump sand or river sand as a filling material to go over the grass. Avoid things like topsoil or garden soil that are rich in organic matter. As that organic matter breaks down, you lose the volume of the fill. So stick with a sandy fill. The grass grows up through it more evenly as well. And don't forget the grass won't really grow through much more than 2 inches. So where you have to fill deeper than that, you may have to do some replacement of your lawn in some of those areas. And finally, fertilization can be done. We fertilized our lawns back in late March or early April. If you want to really push your grass, you can fertilize again here in June and then make a third application in August. Centipede requires less fertilizer, and we usually do fine with this one application of fertilizer in the spring. Bermuda is the heaviest user of fertilizer. We usually fertilize it 3 or 4 times in the summer. St. Augustine and Zoysia a couple of times is usually adequate in late March, and then again in July would work out well. But if you're really trying to push your lawn is low in vigor, you're trying to get it to grow better and faster, you can fertilize St. Augustine and Zoysia up to 3 times in March, June, and August. So this is the time of the year you might be thinking about fertilizing. Now, if the lawn has a good color, is growing vigorously, and looks fine, don't feel like you have to go out and fertilize it. Indeed, lawns that are generously fertilized may have more problems with disease issues and certainly grow faster. So you're increasing your labor in your lawn. If you fertilize your grass heavily, you really push it to grow. So keep that in mind as well. All righty, y'all. I think I've rattled on long enough. I'd love to hear from y'all and talk to y'all about what y'all got going on in your gardens. Call on in with your garden questions now. We'll take a little break here. So it's a perfect time to call in and get your call lined up and ready to go. 504-260-1870 is that number to call. 504-260-1870. Call on in. We'll take a quick break, y'all, and be right back with more of the Garden Show.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on Five Star Style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
For 2026, Toyota is the best resale value brand according to Kelley Blue Book. With the Tacoma, Tundra, and 4Runner named the top three for resale value above all vehicles by KBB. And with special financing available at your local Toyota dealer, you can enjoy affordability today, while great resale value can mean thousands more in your pocket when it's time to sell or trade in. Shop Toyota.com to find out more. Vehicles projected resale value is specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Go. Good morning, y'all. We're talking gardening. And if you got a question, an issue, or a problem trying to figure out how to take care of a plant or having problems with a plant that you just don't know what to do with it, because no matter what you do, it just doesn't seem to be happy, we could talk about it. Wondering what's the plant to keep your flower beds beautiful, your vegetable gardens productive, call on in. That phone number is 504-260-1870. Let's head to the phones. We have Laurent up first, calling in from New Orleans. Hey, Laurent, good morning.
Hey, Dan, how you doing, man? I have a place up in Woodville, Mississippi, just south of Natchez. You may know where that is, but I've got a couple of plum trees up there, and every year they grow the flowers, and then they start to grow the plums, and then unfortunately every year, you know, they start to bloom around January, February, and then we get these fronts that come through, and it seems to knock off every doggone plum I've got. And when they do produce, I mean, I get jillions of plums, about golf-sized plums. I believe there's something you can spray on the tree to try to help hold those flowers on there. Is that correct?
Well, Laurent, you're getting the plums, right?
Well, no. I might get plums 1 year out of three.
And that's because of the weather. And you're saying that's because of the weather.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I had an orange tree here.
Laurent, there's nothing you can spray on the tree, on your plum trees, that will alleviate late cold snaps. There's nothing you can spray on the trees to alleviate late cold snaps. Pollination is carried out by insects like bees, and the fact that your trees are producing plums for you means that the potential is there for them to get pollinated. And so you have enough different kinds of plums, the trees are cross-pollinating, you get fruit formation occurring, but it sounds like you've got problems with late cold snaps coming in after trees have bloomed, interfering with production. And unfortunately, there's just nothing that we can use to take care of that. So your problem is not pollination. If the problem was pollination, you wouldn't get any plums any year. They'd never pollinate themselves. But the fact that you're getting plums about every 3 years probably indicates weather issues with those types of plums that you're growing. Perhaps, again, the late cold snaps, as you suspected, causing issues with production. But there's nothing you can spray either to keep the flowers on or make the flowers stay or pollinate the flowers. They've got to be pollinated by insects. Spray is not going to duplicate bees carrying pollen from flower to flower on your trees. And pollination is not an issue, again, or you would never get any plums forming. So the plums are cross-pollinating. There are also some problems like insects. The plum curculio is a little insect that attacks plums right after the plums set. And that can knock off their damage can knock off a huge proportion of the plums. And as far as, you know, your question about spraying, well, spraying an insecticide, as soon as the flowers stop, as soon as most of the flowers have fallen off, if you spray the trees a few times with an insecticide to prevent those plum curculios from attacking the fruit, and they'll attack it when it's the size of your fingernail. So they attack the fruit when it's quite small and cause a lot of it to fall off, and then they can attack the plums later on. There's a second generation that comes out and causes worms in the plums that ripen for you. So the plum curculio is an insect that causes a lot of the fruit to fall off. You may be having some issues with plum curculios as well, knocking off some of your fruit, in addition to late cold temperatures, light freezes that may occur after the crop has been set.
Gotcha. Yeah, because I really thought for sure years and years ago, I had an orange tree here at my house in Marrero, and I would end up losing all the flowers or the fruit. And I really thought there was something that you could spray on it that helped the flowers and the fruit hang on better. But
nope.
I don't think it's the cold. I think it's the wind more than anything.
That's well, the wind is not an issue. Trees have lived with wind their whole lives, Lawrence. Unless it's a hurricane, you know, getting 70, 100 mile an hour winds. Wind is not an issue. However, inclement weather, cold, windy weather, rainy weather may depress the activity of bees. They're not going to be as out. So if the trees happen to come into bloom and there's, you know, a week and a half of inclement weather, that can affect pollination as well. But it would be lovely and simple if there was simply something we could spray on our trees that would force them to set their flowers and make a crop for us. But unfortunately, that's simply not the case, Lawrence.
All right, man. I appreciate the info, Dan. Appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Hey, sure thing. Appreciate the call. All righty. Chris is up next, calling in from Luling. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Dan. I have a question about an avocado tree that I bought from my local nursery. It is, I believe, a Mexicana avocado tree. It's planted kind of above ground in a good mulch layered base. The base of the tree is about 6 to 8 inches wide. It's I know it's taller than it should be. It's probably about 15 feet high and about 8 feet across. My question is, they're producing fruit. It flowers in November and December. I get avocados. They're green. They're beautiful, and then they turn black, but they stay firm. And when I do pick them, the seed is very loose in there. It shakes all around. Is there anything I'm doing wrong here?
Not that I can tell, Chris. Some avocados ripen black.
Yes, they turn black.
Yeah, so that's not an issue. Is the flesh good?
No, it's rubbery and inedible.
Well, then it probably means you're harvesting them too soon.
Okay.
If you harvest them at the right stage, of course you harvest them while they're still firm. But if you harvest an avocado off of your tree, and usually it's late summer when we're harvesting avocados, when you harvest an avocado off of your tree and you let it sit for a week on your kitchen counter, if it never softens or if it stays firm and when you cut into it the flesh is rubbery, it means you pick it too soon. If you let it get to the right stage on the tree before you pick it, after it sits on your counter for a week. So when you're trying to decide when to pick the avocados, remember that we typically harvest them in late summer. And when you think the avocados are getting close to that ready stage, you know, try picking a couple, putting them on a kitchen counter, leaving there for a week. And if they soften nicely, then you can begin to go ahead and harvest your avocados and ripen and use them. But if you put them on the counter and they're rubbery after a week, it's still too soon to do your main harvest.
Okay, then that makes perfect sense because I'm harvesting them in like March, April, March time frame.
Yeah, that's way too soon for avocados in our area.
Okay. I'll take your advice and I'll get back to you.
Good. Let me know how that turns out for you, Chris.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you. Have a great day.
Sure thing. Alrighty, we have Alan up calling in from Gretna. Good morning, Alan.
Yes, good morning, Dan. I got two very distinct questions. Okay, first of all, clarification on fertilizing St. Augustine in June. Can I use the weed and feed or just straight fertilizer?
Just use the fertilizer, the lawn fertilizer. And the reason for that is that one of the more common active ingredient weed killers that are in the weed and feed products is atrazine. And atrazine is more likely to cause damage to the grass when it's hot. So just use a lawn fertilizer during the summer. If you have a weed issue that you need to deal with, then choose MSM turf or Celsius to deal with those weed problems.
Okay, that answers it because I don't have a weed problem. Second distinct question. I had a garden, a raised garden, that had three large crepe myrtles. I took them out last year. I drilled holes in the stump, and I ground the stump down below ground. I put some powder, something that I bought, to supposedly kill the stump. But my problem is the roots are popping up. Can I
You used the wrong thing. You had a good idea, because crepe myrtles are notorious. When you cut them down, it's a very common problem that the roots remain, even if you grind the stump, the larger roots remaining in the ground oftentimes
right.
send up lots and lots of suckers. And so what you
exactly.
thought you used to kill the stump, in fact, didn't kill the stump. It was something that was going to encourage the stump to decay faster. But what you needed to do
okay.
was apply a herbicide like triclopyr is what we commonly use. There's a product called Cutvine and Stump Killer. It's a liquid that you apply over to the freshly cut surface of a stump. The stump absorbs that herbicide, and the herbicide kills the stump in the root system, and the crepe myrtle is much less likely to send up suckers from the roots, or at least a lot less of them, or even eliminate them. So all you can do
okay.
now is spray the shoots. And again, you can use triclopyr, something like Brush Killer or Brush Be Gone that has triclopyr in it, and you can spray those shoots. Now, be careful. The triclopyr is toxic to whatever you get it on, and you really wouldn't want to use it very close to desirable plants. But you can carefully apply it just to the suckers coming up, and that will be absorbed by the suckers and go down and help kill the below-ground roots. And as long as you're very careful not to get a lot in the soil itself, and certainly don't get it on desirable plants, you should be able to carefully use that to help alleviate that problem.
Okay. Well, obviously it's too late for the liquid on the stump. But can I take a paintbrush, a small paintbrush, and actually paint the weed kill, the product, on the growth as it's coming up? Will that be sufficient?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
A little tedious, but absolutely. That should work really well, Alan. And just keep at it.
Okay.
You know, take a section at a time, and then if sprouts come up again, you just keep at it. You got to be more stubborn than those crepe myrtles.
Okay. That's. I just wanted to be sure I was okay, because I got caladiums in that new garden now that I've got to be very careful of, but I'll continue to paint the crepe myrtles as they come up. All right. Thank you.
Sure thing, Alan. Appreciate the call. All righty, y'all. Good morning, y'all. We're talking gardening, and I would love to hear from you. If you have something I can help you out with, don't let the show go by without getting the information you need to make your plants grow as good as you want them to. 504-260-1870 is that number to call. Let's head to the phones. We have Patrick up, calling in from Covington. Hey, Patrick, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Dan. I've got one comment and then a question. I just want to give a shout-out to your local agent out here in Covington, Will. He's been a wealth of resources for me in the 10-plus years or so I've lived out here.
Will Ashton is a great, great guy. You're right. The St. Tammany Parish is lucky to have such a great, friendly, and knowledgeable horticulturist to help them out with their issues. I appreciate that shout-out, Patrick. I know Will does, too.
Yeah, he's very responsive, and I'm sad to know that, I mean, I went most of my adult life not even realizing LSU Ag had those resources available to me until about 10 years ago. So I encourage everybody else to use their agent. But
good advice,
questions
Patrick.
About bugleheads. Bougainvilleas and mandevillas, I've got one of each planted in 10-gallon pots. They probably sit about 3 feet from each other. The mandevilla is blooming. I mean, I can't count the number of blooms on it. The bougainvillea, I try and keep the soil pretty dry. It's got very green leaves throughout, but I'm having difficulty with it blooming at all.
Well, it's a super common problem, Patrick, with bougainvilleas. And it's frustrating. But remember, these are not ever-blooming plants. Bougainvilleas do not bloom constantly all the time the way mandevillas do. Mandevillas bloom, you know, every week, every month, all the way from spring all the way to the fall. That's just in their nature.
bougainvilleas come out with flushes of flowers. They'll bloom for a while, and then they'll quit blooming, and they may bloom for a little while more. You're lucky sometimes to get one nice flush of flowers on a bougainvillea vine in the course of the summer. The younger the vine, the less it blooms. The older the vine, the more it blooms. The more, if it's in a container, the more the container is filled with roots, the more likely it is to bloom. If you put a bougainvillea in a big container, you're just telling it to take off and grow like a monster. The more root room it has, the more it grows vigorously vegetatively. And until the root system fills up the entire container and starts to get constrained, the bougainvillea is going to be more inclined to grow vegetatively. While you're waiting for, all you can do is give it the right care, and the rest is up to the plant. Make sure you have it in a spot where it gets sun all day. Allowing it to dry between irrigation is excellent because bougainvilleas come from a climate where, you know, there are dry periods. And sometimes we can even fool them into blooming by, you know, really depriving them of water some. But, you know, a bougainvillea in a large container is probably still filling the container up with roots. Avoid doing a lot of fertilizing. Sometimes people think, oh, if I just fertilize it a lot, I'm going to really encourage it to bloom. And that usually just makes it grow more vegetatively. Feel free to trim it and keep it under control. Bougainvilleas are huge plants. Planted in the ground, they'll get to be 10 feet tall and 10 feet wide. So they're really large growing plants. So feel free to trim your bougainvillea every now and again here and there. It's better to keep it under control with lightly trimming it every now and again on a regular basis than to let it get way overgrown and then cut it way back and then let it get way overgrown and cut it way back. So those are some tips on care. But beyond that, it's up to the plant. And as frustrating as it is, there's nothing you can do to force it.
Would I shock it too much by bringing it down to maybe a 7-gallon pot or even a 5-gallon?
I don't know, Patrick. It depends on how big the root system is now. How long has it been in that 10-gallon?
About a little over a year.
Well, it's doing a good job of filling up that container. You could give it a try. This is a very hot time of the year. The plants don't appreciate having their roots disturbed when we're hitting the upper 80s and lower 90s. Even bougainvilleas that like the heat are not as tolerant of their roots being disturbed. But if you're frustrated enough to, you know, take the chance with it, you can try shifting it down to a smaller container. But if it was me, I would just understand the situation at this point and then just continue my good care, knowing that eventually it's going to slow down and start blooming for me. But it's very much, this is not you, Patrick. This is not your fault. This is not something you are doing or are not doing. This is simply in the nature of bougainvilleas. It's just part of how we grow them.
All right. Thank you, Dan.
Sure thing, Patrick. All right. We got Marie on the line calling in from New Orleans. Hey, Marie. What can I do for you?
Hi, Dan. Thanks for taking my call. So I live near the river. I have beautiful, rich, dark soil. I can literally grow anything except for grass. I can do winter rye and weeds, but I've tried St. Aug. I've tried Zoysia. I have tilled the grass, the whole property three times and put new sod down. It's got plenty of sunlight. It just dies.
Marie, there are no trees in the area casting shade?
No.
This is an open field?
Correct.
Huh. I don't know. Laying St. Augustine sod should be just a given. Good soil.
Yeah.
St. Augustine's tough as nails. It grows everywhere.
Usually when we
really have a hard time growing grass, a shade is the most common issue. We all love to have shade trees around our houses, and they're beautiful, but they cast shade. And eventually trees get big enough and cast enough shade to where if the grass doesn't get enough, it makes the decision, it just doesn't grow. But in an open lawn like you have where there is no shade, there is no reason for the grass not to grow. So I don't have a good answer for you there. Now, there may be insect or disease problems that crop up and are devastating the grass, but that has to be dealt with at the moment it begins to occur.
So if knowing that there's no reason why grass will not grow there, if you want to give it another try, you can lay St. Augustine sod all through the summer season, but then keep an eye on it. And if you do begin to see problems with it, then you have to act very quickly. Contact the horticulturist in your parish with the LSU Ag Center and jump on it right away and say, my grass is starting to fade out. I need you to come out maybe and take a look at my lawn and see if we can determine, or I want to bring some samples into your office so that we can take a look at that. Maybe you can come up with the reason why my grass is dying on me. So there may be insect or disease problems at work that have caused some problems, but they usually don't wipe out a whole lawn, and certainly not over and over again. So, Marie, there is a great publication. I'll leave you with this. It's the LSU Ag Center Lawn BMP. That's BMP, LSU Ag Center Lawn BMP. Put that into your search engine, pull up a link, and take a look at that extremely helpful and very complete publication on lawn care. And double-check how you're taking care of your lawn. Make sure you're not making any mistakes there. But with enough sun, lawns are almost always going to do well for you, Marie. Look, I'm up against a break. I got to scoot on, but I sure appreciate your call. Y'all stay tuned. Call on in with your gardening questions now, 504-260-1870. And we'll be back with more of The Garden Show right after this. Good morning. Getting down to the wire, but let me see if I can sneak Tony in here, calling from Harahan. Hey, Tony, what can I do for you?
Sir, I had a tree volunteer on the side of my house, and I didn't recognize it. I'd never seen anything like it before. The bark on it was like brown and a little rough, and the leaves on the branches were 2x2 adjacent to one another. The tree got up to about 10 foot tall, and all the upper branches formed buds. It was a crepe myrtle tree, a light pink flower. I'd never heard of a seedling crepe myrtle before. Is this common?
It is, Tony. Yeah, crepe myrtles can definitely self-seed. Sometimes it can become an issue in flower beds. When they grow near a flower bed, you'll have little crepe myrtle seedlings popping up in the flower bed. In fact, I have a couple of crepe myrtle seedlings from my Natchez crepe myrtles popping up in some beds. And as you say that, it reminds me I need to get out there and pull them up. I certainly don't want to let them get to be 10 feet tall before I deal with them. But, yeah, that happens. Crepe myrtles do self-seed. And it's not incredibly unusual to see that happen.
Okay, so I just never seen it before.
Well, good. Well, now you have, Tony. So now the next time somebody says, I had some crepe myrtles pop up in my yard, you can say, oh, yeah, that happens. I had that happen in my yard.
Yeah. I didn't realize that it was, you know, I thought the seeds on the crepe myrtle were not fertile.
Well, now you know. Now you know, Tony. They can certainly come up from seed.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Hey, sure thing, Tony. I appreciate the call. And a lot of good calls this hour. We're getting a bit down to the wire here. I don't have time to slip in with another one. I got some callers on the line. Look, y'all hang in there. You know your call is important to me. Just hang on through that top of the hour break, and I'll head to the calls as soon as we come back and get y'all's questions and get those answers to you. Those of you who are listening at the top of the hour, if you think of a question, feel free to call on in and just call lined up and ready to go, because I love to head right to the phones. We'll come back for the second hour of The Garden Show. I also wanted to mention, I had an email that came in. Somebody was asking about those seed pods at the Fourmont Louisiana irises. They wanted to plant the seeds. Yeah, you can plant the seeds. You have to let the pods fully mature. I usually recommend pruning them off when they're really quite small. It keeps the plants from wasting effort on seeds that most of us don't need. But if you have some seed pods and you think, hey, I might like to grow some Louisiana irises, some seeds, wait for the pods to turn yellow. They'll oftentimes split when they're ready to go. And then just plant the seeds immediately as soon as you shell them out of the pod into pots of potting soil, planting the seeds about a quarter to a half of an inch deep down in the medium. Keep them wet. It takes about 3 years or sometimes more for them to come into bloom. But, hey, if you're looking for a project, it might be something you're interested in. All right, y'all stay tuned. We have a whole another hour of The Garden Show coming up after we catch you up on the latest news, weather, and we'll be back with more of The Garden Show after this. Good morning. I appreciate you joining me for the second hour of the Garden Show. Lots of good calls the first hour, and I look forward to hearing from you. Yeah, I'm talking to you with that gardening question that you're thinking about right now. Call on in. We'll talk about it, see what's up, and come up with the best information I can for you. 504-260-1870 is that number to call, 504-260-1870. If you got a gardening question, I can help you out with this morning. We got callers on the line, so we're heading to the phones. Jimmy is up, calling in from Organza. Hey, Jimmy, good morning.
Good morning, Dan. I have a question. I have about 100 tree orchard of pecans, improved variety, Elliott's and Candy. I've noticed the tree is about 35 years old. I have 100 of them. It looks like at the graft line, they're starting to decay. The bark breaks loose and eventually the tree dies. I've had 3 of them die, and I've noticed it on about 5 others. Is that a common practice with improved varieties? And maybe they've run their time and that happens. Is that common or not?
No, I would say there's some issue or problem. Now, bark peeling is normal on older pecans. The outer layer of bark comes off in thin sheets and thin layers. So it's not unusual at all to see the outer bark of pecans, older pecans, you know, peeling off. So that's not alarming. But the death of a tree certainly is. So you may want to contact the county agent in the county where that orchard is located and consult with them on what might be going on with the trees that died. It may be something communicable. It may not. You know, there's a variety of borers will sometimes kill pecans. But pecans are long-lived. They'll live to be 70, 80, 90, even 100 years old. So there's nothing about an improved or grafted pecan that would shorten its life substantially and lead to the loss of the tree. So there may be some pest problem, insect or disease at work, and getting a professional out there, an arborist could be called in, a licensed arborist could be called in to look at the trees. I would start with your county agent there in your county and see what they can do for you.
Well, I'm in Point Fee Parish. We have a large variety of trees and orchards, so I'll take your advice and talk to the agent. Thanks so much.
Oh, good deal, Jimmy. Look, good luck with that. I hope they can come up with something for you.
Thank you.
All righty. We got Joseph up next calling in from Uptown. Good morning, Joseph. You're on the Garden Show.
Yeah, Dan, how are you?
I am doing just fine, Joseph.
But I got to tell you, I bet that Mike and Barbara Levy say hi to you from Poplarville, right?
Oh, pass my love and hello right back to them. I appreciate that, Joseph.
Will do. Hey, I'm here with my wife of 40 years, Dan. She's got a question.
I'm listening.
We just got a pallet of Zoysia grass and want to know how we should water it.
You know, that's a real good question, because watering newly laid sod is really important, because when they harvest the sod, they leave behind virtually the entire root system. So the sod has to regenerate a new root system, and during that time, it's vulnerable to drying out. So what we do is we water the newly laid sod every day for about 20 minutes. So not a really deep watering. There are no deep roots to water deeply for, but you want to keep that sod hydrated and keep the soil moist to encourage that root system to start growing. So for the first 7 to 10 days after you lay the sod, you want to water every day for about 20 minutes. Now, after 7 to 10 days, you want to drop back to every other day for about 25 to 30 minutes. You're watering a little bit longer. You want that water to go a little bit deeper to encourage those roots to grow down into the soil. So for the next 7 to 10 days, you're watering every day for about 25 to 30 minutes. And then after that, after 14 to 20 days, you stop watering frequently. If you water your sod frequently too long, you're going to start encouraging fungal disease problems with the grass. So it's something we have to do at first to get the sod on its feet. But there's a downside to watering so often.
That encourages disease problems. So after that 14 to 20-day establishment period, cut back and water maybe once or twice a week, as you would water most of the rest of the lawn. But a very good question. If you don't water newly laid sod properly, you can lose it. It can dry out on you in a heartbeat, and that would be not a good thing to happen.
And when do we mow it the first time?
When it needs it.
Okay.
Yeah, when it needs it. Now, remember, zoysia is mowed at about an inch and a half. And so when that zoysia gets to be about 2.5 inches tall, it's definitely time to mow it at that time. So it's mowed lower. If you're used to taking care of St. Augustine in particular, if you're used to even taking care of centipede, zoysia is mowed lower. It's a fine textured grass, and it is mowed at a lower level. Make sure you're aware of that. And for care of it, if you're not real familiar with zoysia, y'all, I mentioned earlier to Marie about an excellent publication the LSU Ag Center has on lawn care. Everybody who's taking care of a lawn really should take a look at this lawn care publication, even download it so you have it handy. It gives you all the information on how to care for all of the major lawn grasses, zoysia, St. Augustine, centipede, Bermuda, and even mentioned some of the others like carpet grass, and how to mow them properly, fertilize them properly, weed issues with photographs, disease issues with photographs. It's just a really great reference for taking care of lawns here in Louisiana. It's called Louisiana Lawns BMP. Louisiana Lawns BMP. Just type that into a search engine. You'll pull up a link. Take a look at that, and that's a great resource for y'all to learn all you need to know about properly taking care of that zoysia lawn.
Well, thank you so much, Dan.
All right, y'all take care.
Love
good
your...
luck with that. Go
Bye,
ahead,
Dan.
We love you. We love your show.
Oh, well, I love y'all calling in. Thanks so much, and thank you so much for the shout out from Mike and Barbara. You be sure to tell them I think about them often and miss them, and I wish them all the best. All righty, y'all. Look at the clock. I think we could take a little break here. I'd love to hear from you. Call on in. It's a perfect time to get your calls lined up. You know, I always encourage y'all to call in during the breaks. It's easy for Mario, my board operator, to get y'all's calls in and get them lined up and give me y'all's names, and it works out just fine. So call on in now. The phone number is 504-260-1870. If you got a gardening question, don't leave me hanging and don't get the information you need. 504-260-1870 is that number to call. Y'all stay tuned, and we'll be right back with more of the Garden Show. Good morning, y'all. We're talking gardening, and if you've got a question, an issue, or a problem I can help you out with, don't be shy. I'd love to hear from you. We can chat about it, and I'll give you some good information. 504-260-1870 is the number to call. 504-260-1870. We got Donna up next calling in from Metairie. Good morning, Donna.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of 5-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 5-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you 5-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 5-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 5-star reviews. So when you're ready to score 5-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Nobody brags about their car's resale value at a dinner party. Nobody posts about it on social media. It's not the reason you fall in love with a vehicle. But 5 years in, it's one of the clearest signs that you made the right decision. And Toyota makes that choice easy. For 6 consecutive years, Toyota has been named the best resale value brand by Kelley Blue Book. And many Toyota models, like the Camry, Tacoma, and 4Runner, are best in their class according to KBB. Because Toyota doesn't just build vehicles for the moment, they build for the miles ahead, which is something every Toyota owner can appreciate. So stop by your local Toyota dealer and enjoy the affordability of a great deal today, plus the value that lasts long after your purchase. Shop Toyota.com to find out more. Vehicles projected resale value and best resale value awards are specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Hello, Donna. Are you still there?
Yes, I am.
What can I do for you, Donna?
I have a lemon tree that I just got a couple months ago, and it's got lemons on it, and I don't know if I should transplant it or just leave it in the pot.
Well, this is a stressful time of the year to plant, so it's not the ideal or best time. We like to get citrus trees planted around about March or April while the weather is still cool and the tree will have a little chance to settle in before the intense heat of summer arrives. Well, the intense heat of summer is here, and that puts stress on trees, and that makes this a less ideal time of the year to plant. But you still could. You just need to make sure you pay careful attention to watering it and give it that TLC it's going to need going into the ground here during the heat of summer. So if you'd rather go ahead and get it in the ground, the advantage of planting it now rather than waiting for the weather to cool off in the fall is that if you plant citrus trees in the fall, they have little time to settle in before they have to go through their first winter. And that makes them less tolerant of the cold, and cold can be a real issue when it comes to citrus trees. The advantage of planting now is that the tree will have the rest of the summer to make root growth and settle in, and that would probably help it get through its first winter in the ground a little bit better. So although it's not the ideal time to plant your new little lemon tree, I'd recommend you go ahead and get it planted, but make sure you give it that TLC. In particular, pay careful attention to watering, not too much, but make careful attention to watering as needed. To help that little tree settle in and get established, Donna, you're not going to like what I'm about to say. Remove the lemons. That little tree has no business. We always tell people to take the fruit off their newly planted citrus. That little tree shouldn't be putting effort into making fruit. It needs to survive and settle in. So the first year after planting, we always take the fruit off of citrus trees so they can put all that effort that would go into the fruit into growing roots and stems and leaves and settling in. You want the tree to survive. You want the tree to establish and do well. Right. And the fruit is a real disadvantage. So it's so disappointing. I know when I have to tell gardeners that. Ideally, nobody can make you do it, Donna, but ideally it's highly recommended that you go ahead and remove that fruit.
Okay, good to know. And also, I have a gardenia plant that has made it through Katrina, and it's not blooming as much as everybody else's. Got any ideas?
No. Plants are what they are. They're not gonna, they all perform differently. It's kind of like saying, I don't know why my kid isn't making as good of grades as your kid. You know, life is like that. So don't be too hard on it. It's probably doing what it can.
But Donna, the flower buds are already set. There's no way for you to make it flower more right now.
Okay.
But what you might decide to do is sometime this month or in July, fertilize it. Use an acid-loving plant fertilizer or like an azalea, gardenia, camellia fertilizer on that camellia to make sure it's getting lots of mineral nutrients and it's growing vigorously. But again, the flower buds for this year's crop of flowers was set last year. So nothing you do one way or another at this point is going to make it have more flowers. But hey, don't be too hard on it. Sometimes we have to love our plants even though they might not do exactly what we want.
I didn't know if I had to trim it back a little bit or, you know.
Has nothing to do with making it flower more. Now, if you need to control its size, if you need to trim it to shape it up or control its size, feel free to do that sometime in the latter part of June after it's finished flowering and it stops blooming. Feel free to trim it on at that time. But that's not going to make it bloom more next spring, next year in May and in June. But trimming is something we do to shape them and control their size. Again, fertilizing it later on this month is probably the best tool you could try to encourage vigor on that plant and try to get it to settle out of flower buds. Remember, they set their flower buds for bloom next year in July and August of this year. So the fertilizer you put out in late June will enhance the gardenia's growth and hopefully maybe encourage it to set more flower buds.
All righty. Well, thank you very much. I enjoy your show. You have a great day.
All right, Donna, you too. All righty. Next up is Raymond calling in from St. Bernard. Hey, Raymond, good morning.
Hey, Dan, good morning. I was wondering what I can do about the cockaburros. I don't know the correct name on them, but I know it's sometime in the fall that you poison them. But the question is, I have chickens, so I wonder if there's anything out there that I can use that won't hurt the chickens. And
Raymond,
what time of month?
I don't know about that. You have chickens that are feeding in your lawn area where you want to put out a herbicide?
Yes.
Yeah, I just don't know about it, Raymond. Chickens are an unusual item. You know, the lawn weed killers that we use are designed to be put on home lawns. And we know there are pets like dogs and cats and kids go out and play on the lawn and we have family barbecues. You know, that's what we normally look at. But chickens are scratching the ground and pecking at things in the ground and eating things right up off the dirt. You know, and our cats and dogs don't dig in the ground and eat bugs, you know, and seeds
right,
the way chickens
right.
do. So if you have a chicken
yeah.
situation, Raymond, I'm just not sure that there would be a lawn herbicide that you could utilize. I certainly wouldn't use anything granular. But I just
right.
don't know. I'm not a livestock specialist. I just don't know how what effect that would have on the chickens.
Yeah. If I spray the liquid, like 2 or 3 weeks, would maybe that be long enough? And then that could turn the chickens loose.
Most of our lawn weed killers will break down in a matter of a couple of weeks. And sometimes if we reapply, we say, like, you know, wait 2 weeks before you reapply because it takes that long for the weed killer that you put down before to break down. So if you want to do that, what you can do is the sticker weed seeds germinate in October. Now, normally we put down a granular weed preventer at that time, and I certainly wouldn't recommend you put down something granular that the chickens can, you know, peck on and ingest. But if you wait for the weeds to come up until around about late November or December, they should be up and growing by then. You could come in with a lawn weed killer. Any of the lawn weed killers will do a good job on sticker weed. So you could come in with a selective lawn weed killer that's a safe to use on the kind of grass you have. And apply it then, and that should wipe out most of the sticker weeds. If you check your lawn again in February, if you see that there are still sticker weeds in your lawn in February, then you can isolate the chickens again for 2 weeks and maybe make a second application then.
But, you know, I can't confirm that absolutely, but that seems reasonable if you decide that's something you might want to do.
Okay. Yeah, and then I have Zoya grass, and it seems to be kind of taking over. It runs better than the St. Augustine. I put a pallet down in the yard, and it's spread almost double in size over one summer.
Oh, excellent. I appreciate the feedback on that. Yeah, a lot of people, Zoysia has not been very commonly planted here in South Louisiana. But over the last 20 years, it's becoming increasingly popular. The lawn companies, the sod companies are beginning to carry it more readily.
I love
Empire.
It.
Empire is a popular variety of Zoysia, and it does grow vigorously. It runs well, so appreciate the positive feedback on that, Raymond.
Yeah, I love it. It makes a pretty lawn. It's always nice and green. The dew dries up quick on it in the morning hours.
Well, good deal, Raymond.
All right,
good luck
with
them sticker weeds now. All right, appreciate the call. All right, Raymond.
Thank you very much.
Sure thing. All right, next caller up is Joe calling in from Gulfport. Joe, you're on the Garden Show. Good morning. Oops, we lost Joe. Anybody else holding on? All right, I hear we got Chris in Belchase on the line. Hey, Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Dan. I have a question. We have caterpillars. We have a small garden at my office. We have, like, tomatoes, peppers, but the caterpillars are just killing them. Like, what can we put on their plants?
This is a time of the year when the caterpillars are really, really prevalent. All different kinds. Mm-hmm. We got tomato hornworms that chew on the fruit. We got tomato fruit worms that chew holes in the fruit. We got hornworms that will consume vast amounts of the foliage. And it's just a constant battle. There's an organic insecticide called Spinosad, S-P-I-N-O-S-A-D, Spinosad.
Okay.
And if you'll buy an insecticide that has Spinosad in it, just stop by your local nursery or garden center and tell them you're looking for a product with Spinosad. They'll show you the products that they carry. And use that per label directions about once a week. You need to start spraying that. Now, when you spray that, spray the plant thoroughly. Get under the leaves. A lot of times we forget to spray under the leaves of our vegetables, and a lot of insects hide under the leaves. In addition, you know, if you spray in the next couple of days we get a big rain, well, that will wash off a lot of the insecticide, but the insecticide under the leaves is protected from the rain, and that residue persists, and that will help give you longer control. So use Spinosad, use it regularly once a week, and don't just spray once or twice and quit. The caterpillars will come right back. Once you start spraying, I'd go ahead and recommend you continue to spray as long as your vegetables are in the garden and producing.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Dan.
Sure thing, Chris. Thank you so much for the call. Let's see if we've got anybody else holding on here. All right, we got Harold up next. He's calling in from Diamond Head. Hey, Harold, good morning.
Dan, this is Harold, and I'm calling from Hammond.
Hammond, okay, good morning.
That's okay. I've got a massive dollarweed problem. I've never had dollarweed before, and I've got it. Well, I wish there was a market for it because I'd be making a fortune. What can I do to get rid of this mess?
Is the dollarweed a problem in your lawn or in your flower beds and shrub beds?
Mostly the lawn, sir.
Okay. That means you have to use something selective that will kill the dollarweed without damaging your lawn. And as I've mentioned earlier, with the heat, we have to be careful what kind of weed killer that we use. There are two that do a great job controlling dollarweed, and that can be used now despite the fact that it's gotten hot. MSM Turf, that's MSM Turf, is one of them. The other is Celsius, Celsius, C-E-L-S-I-U-S, Celsius.
is a wonderful herbicide as well for controlling a wide variety of weeds. Those also do a good job against Virginia buttonweed. For everybody out there that is trying to defend their lawns against Virginia buttonweed. But use those per label directions. One application will probably do the job, but give it about 3 weeks or so. And if you still see some of the dollar weed hanging in there and it hasn't finished it off, you can put out a second application, and that will usually do a really good job of wiping it out.
That's MSN or MSM turf?
MSM as in Mike. MSM okay. Turf and Celsius.
Thank you very much, and you have a great weekend. Appreciate it, sir.
You too, Harold. I appreciate that call. All righty, y'all. We can take a little break here, and that'll give me a chance to catch up with some of the callers coming in, and in particular, it gives you a chance to call on in and get your call lined up and ready to go for the show. I'd love to hear from you. 504-260-1870 is the number to call. If you have a question, a problem, or an issue I can help you out with, 504-260-1870. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be back with more of The Garden Show right after this. Good morning. We're talking gardening, and if you've got something going on I can help you out with, I'd love to hear from you. Call on in. That phone number is 504-260-1870. We got Ralph on the phone calling in from New Orleans East. Hey, Ralph, good morning.
All right. How you doing, Dan?
Real good. What you got?
I got plain old grass. I just had cut about 3-4 days ago, and with the rain, whatever this is in it, it just sprouts right up in spots. You know, it's green like it's grass. Oh, it's still leveled off after the cut, but this is something that's coming up. It's like spikes, and it's in spotted areas in my front lawn.
All right. Well, Ralph, grassy weeds are hard to control in St. Augustine. If I had to take a guess, I would think it might be Dallas grass. Dallas grass grows faster than St. Augustine. And so after you mow it, it looks really great. Everything's fine. And then a few days later, that grass is sticking up above the St. Augustine and not looking good. But to know for sure, I'd need to confirm it. Ralph, would it be possible for you to email me some pictures?
Oh, yes.
Oh, that'd be super. Look, I'm going to give you my email address, get something to write it down with. Go ahead.
But what you said is exactly what I'm looking at.
Yeah, well, that also goes with many other grassy weeds. Like I'm saying, if I had to guess, I would guess Dallas grass. But it's important to know it's hard to take grassy weeds out of St. Augustine. We need to know what kind of weed it is to see if there's even a product that would take that particular weed out of St. Augustine. So it's really important for me to confirm it. Otherwise, you may waste money buying a herbicide that isn't going to do a good job for you. So I want to make sure that we're dealing with what I think we're dealing with here. So if you can take some good pictures fairly close so I can see the grass, let it grow up. Don't take a picture right after you mowed it. Let it grow up so I can see the foliage and how it's growing. And send those to my email address, and that is dan.gill@audacy.com. That's dan.gill@audacy.com. And you put in a couple of three photos with that, and I'll take a look at it. There's a good chance there may be something that will take that weed out. Again, St. Augustine is dicey, is kind of sensitive about herbicides, and there are lots of grassy weeds that we can't control in St. Augustine. But I'll take a look at that and see if I can't work something out for you, Ralph.
Okay, and another question. What is onion weed?
Wild onions? I'm not sure what your question is. When you say, what is it, what do you mean?
Well, I have, like, they all bunch together, and it looks like grass, but they all be bunched together. When I pull it out, you know, gather them all together.
Does it smell like onions when you pull it out?
No.
Then it's not onion weed. It's not wild onion. Yeah, it's the wild onion and wild garlic smells garlicky or oniony when you pull it up. Could be a sedge. Again, Ralph, identification is so very important. Feel free to include some photographs of that weed along with the photographs of that grassy weed. And don't forget, sometimes for all of y'all out there listening, you can always contact your LSU Ag Center Extension horticulturist to help you out with weed identification. And lots of nurseries are familiar with all kinds of weeds that grow on people's lawns and gardens. And so sometimes it can even be helpful to dig up some of the weed, put it in a plastic bag, and take it with you to your local nursery where you tend to shop and see if the staff there can give you some advice on the identification as well. But, yeah, identification of the weed is really, really important when it comes to selecting the right herbicide to do the job.
All right. Sounds good. Appreciate you.
All righty, Ralph. Thanks for the call. We got Charles up calling in from Houma. Charles, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Dan. How you doing today?
Real good, Charles.
Good, good. I got a couple of questions about our okra plants. They're starting to produce really good, and the lower limbs, they start to turn brown. Is it okay to clip those as it's growing up, I'm assuming?
Yeah, as okra grows taller, those old leaves down at the bottom get old. And it's not unusual for them to get yellow or brown edges and start looking funky and unhealthy. In addition, as the plants grow, they shade those lower leaves more, so they're not getting as much sun, and so the plant's not as interested in keeping them. So it is absolutely not unusual for the lower leaves on okra plants to look poorly. You feel free to trim those off. It'll keep the plants looking nice, and they don't need those thick leaves anyway.
Perfect. That'll work. The other thing is, once they start getting to be about 5 or 6 foot tall, should we top those?
Well, you may. Once it starts getting taller than you can conveniently reach, you have an option of either getting something to step up on to harvest your okra, or cutting them back to make them shorter. Now, the advantage of leaving them alone and getting something to step on is that they continue to produce. When you cut them back, the advantage is they'll branch out and be shorter, but they will stop producing for a while they branch out and send out new growth. So there'll be a period of a couple of 3 weeks where you won't get any okra while the plants recover from being trimmed back. But the advantage then is you've got shorter, bushier plants for the rest of the summer that are easier to harvest.
Okay, perfect. The other thing, too, is we're getting some of the okra getting bumps on it. Is that an infection or something on it?
No, it's usually insects, stink bugs, leaf-footed bugs. Oftentimes will feed on okra. You get a little bump there. It's still perfectly good to eat. No big deal. Sometimes their feeding will make an okra pod kind of curl. If you ever get an okra pod that's got a distinctive curl to it, that's the kind of damage caused by stink bugs and leaf-footed bugs as well. Again, the okra pods are still perfectly good to eat.
Okay, yeah, we have a bunch of curl ones too. But, okay, well, that's about all I got on that. Real quick on cucumbers. I've got our cucumbers planted by a trellis, but it's not like they're not climbing like you would think they would. I don't know what causes that.
Are they growing?
It sounds like
they're just not doing well. Because if they're growing vigorously, they should be up on the trellis. Now, are you guiding them along and training them?
Yeah, we're trying to as much as we can.
Well, then they're up on the trellis as much as the plant has grown. So if they're not really up on the trellis, it means the plants aren't doing well. If the plants are growing vigorously and sending out lots of new growth, they're going to fill in on that trellis. But if the plants are just sitting there, they're not doing much, not growing much, then the plants aren't doing well. So it's just a matter, you have to get them started on a trellis, but usually once you get them up a foot or more on that trellis, they'll grab a hold of it and keep on going. If you haven't side-dressed them and you're afraid the vigor is low, they're not growing as vigorously as you think they should be, then try some fertilizer. Side-dress them with a little bit of fertilizer. See if you can't get them to grow more vigorously.
Okay. That's probably what the issue is. I probably need to fertilize them more. Well, good deal. That's all I've got today. I appreciate the help.
All right, Charles. Thanks for the call. Okie doke. I'm up against the break, so we'll take a little quick break here and be right back. If you're holding on the line, y'all definitely please hang in there. Your questions are so important to me. And if you'd like to call in with your question and get it lined up, a perfect time to do so, 504-260-1870 is that number to call, 504-260-1870. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back. Good morning. We're talking gardening, and I'd love to hear from you. 504-260-1870 is the number to call. Gerard is on the phone calling in from New Orleans. Hey, Gerard, good morning.
Hello, Dan.
Hey, good morning. What can I do for you?
Yes, I had a question. About a year ago, I had a crepe myrtle removed from my property, and then I even had the stump ground out. It was very overgrown and just overwhelming my house. And now I just can't seem to kill the rest of it. All the roots seem to be sprouting and trying to grow again. How do I get rid of that?
What have you been doing to try to kill them?
I mean, I've tried, like, covering it with a trash bag to see if I could keep the sunlight off of it and the rain off of it. It's growing up between the cracks of my bricks. It's growing on the other side of my fence.
Oh, good.
I just want to get rid of this thing once and for all.
That's one of the messiest garden situations to deal with is crepe myrtles. Everybody out there, this is the second call this morning about this particular issue. So let me just spend a moment. If you're going to take down a crepe myrtle, they are very bad about the root system resprouting, the large roots. Even if you grind the stump out, the large roots that come off of the stump and even the smaller roots further out from the stump will sprout and start sending up shoots, and it's just a huge pain. So if you are going to have a crepe myrtle removed, after the tree is cut down, and even after it's been ground, get a herbicide called Triclopyr. You can find it in brands like Cut Vine and Stump Killer, Brush Be Gone, Brush Killer, and treat the open cut surface areas either of the stump or the major roots. Paint that right directly onto them, and that they will absorb it. That'll get into the circulatory system and go out and help kill off all those roots. Now, it's too late for that to help you out, Gerard. This is, you know, water under the bridge at this point for you. But everybody out there, if you're going to cut down a crepe myrtle, please remember, if you have a friend or a relative that's cutting down a crepe myrtle, make sure you tell them you've got to use something to kill that stump or you're going to get sprouts up all over the place. You can use the same products to control the sprouts, Gerard. Brush Killer or Brush Be Gone has Triclopyr in it. But do be aware that Triclopyr is going to be toxic to whatever plant you apply it to. So be very, very careful about how do you apply it. Where they're coming up in cracks in a sidewalk, it's no big deal. But if they come up in the lawn, well, where you spray them, it's going to kill the lawn grass. So be very careful and try to apply the herbicide just to the sprouts as much as you can and keep it away from the foliage of desirable plants because it will kill just about anything it is applied to. But it's absorbed by the shoots, and the shoots will absorb it and send it down into the roots, killing not just the above-ground shoots but also those below-ground roots as well. You're going to have to be persistent. It's going to take some time and repeated applications, but you'll be on the right track, and it should, with persistence, it should eventually do a good job of finally getting rid of those, killing off those roots that are making those sprouts.
Okay. Yeah. I'm to a point to where I don't care what else it kills. I just want it gone.
Well, that makes it easy. That makes it easy. And again, when you spray it, it's going to kill them all off. And you're going to go, all right, yeah, this Dan was right. This is killing these shoots, and I'm so happy. But don't sit back because those roots can be very persistent. And if you begin to see some sprouts popping up again, don't throw your hands up and go, oh, no, it didn't work. you just get out there and treat those shoots. It may take more than one application, but with persistence, I think you'll finally get a solution. All right, Gerard.
Thank you very much, Dan. I appreciate it.
Thanks for the call, and thanks to everybody that called in. See y'all again next Saturday right here on The Garden Show. Have a great weekend.
Nobody brags about their car's resale value at a dinner party. Nobody posts about it on social media. It's not the reason you fall in love with a vehicle. But 5 years in, it's one of the clearest signs that you made the right decision. And Toyota makes that choice easy. For 6 consecutive years, Toyota has been named the best resale value brand by Kelley Blue Book. And many Toyota models, like the Camry, Tacoma, and 4Runner, are best in their class according to KBB. Because Toyota doesn't just build vehicles for the moment, they build for the miles ahead, which is something every Toyota owner can appreciate. So stop by your local Toyota dealer and enjoy the affordability of a great deal today, plus the value that lasts long after your purchase. Shop Toyota.com to find out more. Vehicles projected resale value and best resale value awards are specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Introducing the all-new MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best.
Let's go!
Enjoy MLB Network 24/7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhance game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game, blackout-free. Even stream minor league games all season. It's all here and it's all new. Get MLB Plus for just $59.99 a year. Visit MLB.com/MLB Plus.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.